Chapter 3. Powers. Instruction 1. Concentration is holding the mind within a center of spiritual consciousness in the body, or fixing it on some divine form, either within the body or outside it. Instruction 2. Meditation is an unbroken flow of thought towards the object of concentration. Instruction 3. When in meditation, the true nature of the object shines forth, not distorted by the mind of the perceiver that is the absorption. Instruction 4. When these three, concentration, meditation, and the absorption, are brought to bear upon one subject, they are called samyama. Instruction 5. Through mastery of samyama comes the light of no knowledge. Instruction 6. It must be applied stage by stage. Instruction 7. These three are more direct aids to experience than the five limbs previously described. Instruction 8. But even these are not direct aids to the seedless samadhi. Instruction 9. When the visions of the lower samadhi is suppressed by an act of conscience control, so that there are no longer any thoughts or visions in the mind, that is the achievement of control of the highest thought waves of the mind. Instruction 10. When this suppression of thought waves becomes continuous, the mind's flow is calm. Instruction 11. When all mental distractions disappear and the mind becomes one-pointed, it enters the state called samadhi. Instruction 11. The mind becomes one-pointed when similar thought waves arise in succession, without any gaps between them. Instruction 13. In this state, it passes beyond the three kinds of change, which take place in subtle or gross matter. And in the organs, change of form, change of time, and change of condition occur. Instruction 14. A compound object has attributes, and is subject to change, either past, present, or yet to be manifested. Instruction 15. The succession of these changes is the cause of manifold evolution. Instruction 16. By making samyama on the three kinds of change, one obtains the knowledge of past and the future. Instruction 17. By making samyama on the sound of a word, one's perception of its meaning and one's reaction to it, three things which are ordinarily confused, one obtains understanding of all sounds uttered by living things. Instruction 18. By making samyama on previous thought waves, one obtains the knowledge of one's past lives. Instruction 19. By making samyama on the distinguished marks of another man's body, one obtains the knowledge of its nature of his mind. Instruction 20. But not of its contents, because that is not the object of the samyama. Instruction 21. If one makes samyama on the form of one's own body, obstructing its perceptibility and separating its powers of manifestation from the eyes of the beholder, the one's body becomes invisible. Instruction 22. Thus also, it sounds cease to be heard. Instruction 23. By making samyama on the two kinds of karma, which will soon bear fruit, and that which will not fruit until later, or by the recognizing the portent death, a yogi might know the exact time of his separation from the body. Instruction 24. By making samyama on friendliness, compassion, one develops the powers of these qualities. Instruction 25. By making samyama on any kind of strength, such as that of an elephant, one obtains its strength. Instruction 26. By making samyama on the inner light, one obtains the knowledge of what is subtle, hidden, or far distant. Instruction 27. By making samyama on the sun, one gains knowledge of the cosmic spaces. Instruction 28. By making samyama on the moon, one gains knowledge of the arrangement of the stars. Instruction 29. By making samyama on the Pali star, one knows knowledge of the motion of the stars. Instruction 30. By making samyama on the navel, one gains knowledge of the constitutions of the body. Instruction 31. By making samyama on the hollow of the throat, one stills hunger and thirst. Instruction 32. By making samyama on the tube within the chest, one acquires absolute motionlessness. Instruction 33. By making samyama on the radiance within the back of the head, one becomes able to see the celestial beings. Instruction 34. All of these powers of knowledge may also come to one whose mind is spontaneously enlightened through purity. Instruction 35. By making samyama on the heart, one gains knowledge of the contents of the mind. Instruction 36. The power of enjoyment arises from the failure to discriminate between the Atman and the Sattva Guna, which are totally different. The Sattva Guna is merely the agent of the Atman, which is independent, existing only for its own sake. By making samyama on the independence of the Atman, one gains the knowledge of the Atman. Instruction 37. Hence, one gains the knowledge due to spontaneous enlightenment and obtains the supernatural powers of hearing, touch, sight, taste, and smell. Instruction 38. They are superpowers in the worldly state, but they are obstacles to the samadhi. Instruction 39. When the bonds of the mind caused by karma have been loosened, the yogi can enter into the body of another knowledge of the operation of its nerve currents. Instruction 40. By controlling the nerve currents that govern the lungs and the upper part of the body, the yogi can walk on water and swamps, or on thorns and similar objects, and he can die at will. Instruction 41. By controlling the force that governs the prana, he can surround himself with the blaze of light. Instruction 42. By making samyama on the relation between the ear and the ether, one can obtain supernatural powers of hearing. Instruction 43. By making samyama on the relation between the body and the ether, or by acquiring through meditation the lightness of a cotton fiber, the yogi can fly through the air. Instruction 44. By making samyama on the thought waves of the mind, when it is separated from the body, the state known as the great disincarnation, all coverings can be removed from the light of knowledge. Instruction 45. By making samyama on the gross and subtle forms of the elements, on their essential characteristics and the inherence of the gunas in them, and on the experiences they provide for the individual, one gains mastery of the elements. Instruction 46. Hence, one gains the power of becoming as tiny as an atom, and all similar powers. Also, perfection of the body, which is no longer the subject to the obstruction of the elements. Instruction 47. Perfection of the body includes beauty, grace, strength, and hardness of a thunderbolt. Instruction 48. By making samyama on the transformations that the sense organs undergo when they contact objects, on the power of illumination from the sense organs, on the ego sense, on the gunas, on the constitution of the organs, and the experiences they provide for the individual, one gains mastery of the organs. Instruction 49. Hence the body gains the power of movement as rapid as that of the mind, the power of using the sense organs outside the confines of the body, and the mastery of prakriti. Instruction 50. By making samyama on the discrimination between the sattvaguna and the atman, one gains omniscience. Instruction 51. By giving up these powers, even these powers, the seeds of evil is destroyed and liberation follows. Instruction 52. When tempted by the invisible beings in higher places, let the yogi feel neither allured nor flattered, for he is in the danger of being caught once more by ignorance. Instruction 53. By making samyama on a single moment and on their sequence in time, one gains discriminative knowledge. Instruction 54. Thus, one is able to distinguish between two exactly similar objects, which cannot be distinguished by their species, characteristic marks, or positions in space. Instruction 55. This discriminative knowledge delivers a man from the bondage of ignorance. It comprehends all objects simultaneously at every moment of their existence and in all their modifications. Instruction 56. Perfection is attained when the mind becomes as pure as the Atman himself. End of chapter 3.